This new land, with God's assistance, we begin. The Muslim American Media Alliance presents Meet the Members. The Muslim American Media Alliance members are professionals, organizations, and businesses in the media industry with a collective mission to share information and network. And now, your host, William Kareem.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with God's assistance, we begin. And welcome to another edition of Meet the Mama Members, the Muslim American Media Alliance members. Yes, the Muslim American Media Alliance was founded to organize Muslim media outlets. And Muslim American Media Alliance, which is MAMA for short, is composed of newspapers, magazines, websites, blogs, radio, television, social, and email networking groups, such as American Muslim 360, Taqwa TV, Visa Magazine, Famico Publications, Speak TV, Aliyah Network, and more. Early this afternoon, what we have today for you is an interview with one of the founding members of the Muslim American Media Alliance, Toure Mohammed. Toure Mohammed is also an active media participant, and let's bring him on. Assalamu alaikum and good afternoon, my brother. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Everything is doing well. How are you up there in New York? How are you coping now with the storms and everything?
Well, brother, you know, personally, I'm doing very well. The storm didn't hit me too bad. I didn't have a blackout. I had a brownout, whereas we just had partial electricity in the apartment. I'm fortunate to live across the street from a supermarket, so that wasn't a problem. I think the only inconvenience that we really had is that we didn't really have any heat, and it was cold for a couple of days after the storm came through. But, you know, we're from the old school, and we know how to use the oven.
Right.
The oven and the boiling water, you know, on top of the stove. So, alhamdulillah, everything kind of worked out pretty well with that. You know, we only have an hour, and there's a lot to cover, Toure, and I want people to really get to know you, because one of the points, or not even a problem, but I think one of the ways that we could improve the Muslim American Media Alliance is by having this kind of interaction so that we can get to know each other a little more. We can add a little more depth to Muslims that are actually participating in media. And just to let you know a professional background on our brother Toure Mohammed, that he was born in Newark, New Jersey, and he attended the Clara Mohammed Elementary School as a graduate in Newark, New Jersey. That he is a product of the leadership of Imam W.D. Mohammed and the Muslim American community. Toure's undergrad studies was matriculated at Alabama A&M University, and he has a master's degree in city planning information systems from Georgia Institute of Technology in Atlanta, which he calls home. Toure serves as the creative director for the Muslim American Media Alliance and Ummah Stream Taqwa Productions, as well as a social media director for several national and local Islamic organizations and businesses, including the Muslim Journal newspaper, Atlanta Masjid of Al-Islam, Your Muslim Neighbors, Supreme Fish Delight, and Blissful Paper Products, to name only a few. Toure currently resides in the D.C. metropolitan area, Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, and has a career as a senior GIS analyst and application director on contract with the federal government. He served as deputy field director and volunteer organizer with the Obama's Support America for the 2008 election and early Get Out the Vote volunteer coordinator for the 2012 election, and has aspirations to be a campaign coordinator for a local or state Muslim candidate in the future. See, there's a lot to cover, and since that was the last part that we talked about, which was the election, give us some perspective from your position as being a campaign coordinator with the Obama administration or the Obama team. Give us some kind of perspective as far as what you saw as far as this vote and how the results came about.
Well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I was really, the responsibility I had was really to try to get out the volunteer coordination for early voting as well as get out the vote initiatives. And from that perspective, we really saw a very positive response and turnout in those two areas. Early voting really increased more than the last time where people got out to vote early, as well as on the day of the election, we saw a very big response of the voters to come out to the polls. And that's really, I think, what really made the election, you know, win an election and made it a big success, is not only did the primary, the voters of the past came out, but then now you really have your minority voters, and Latinos, African Americans, even the young voters that didn't participate in the past as much, out and really make a difference in this particular election. A lot of your polls that we were seeing before the election, especially on one unnamed network, we saw a lot of skewing of the polls. Yes, it was a close election for the Caucasian voters, but they never really included the minority voters, the young voters. They never really included those in the polls, and that's where we saw the 1 or 2 point increase on the day of the election, and why the Republican Party was kind of shocked, because they did not expect that, because the polls don't really address those voting pools, but they will now.
Yes, I did find that to be interesting, just to continue this political part. It would seem every time that the polls were done that they were, is this to say that they were just skewing and polling the white community and not the other community?
Yes, a lot of times, though, it's not that they're only polling the white community, but they're polling really the past communities, voters of the past that's on the past roll, such as most of the time they are white and they are older and they have home phones. But your new voters, the ones that was in 2008 that really came out, a lot of times they're young, they're in African-American communities, and they may have cell phones and no home phones. So when you have that polling, you get a skew. You get a skew of the poll, and it's not really it doesn't represent what comes out in the vote. And that's why we saw the shock that the Republicans got from, you know, the election. They didn't expect to lose that big.
Torrey, I see that you said that you would like to be a campaign coordinator for a local or state Muslim candidate in the future. Mm-hmm. What was the Muslim participation as far as media is concerned, as far as the politics is concerned? Give us your view on that subject.
Well, politics or campaigning is 95% media. It's really getting in front of the voters, either through your TV, as we know they spent up to, I think the last number was like $6 billion in advertisement, to making sure your candidate get in front of people and meet people, making sure you get on radio stations and television stations and really get to express your position. So I would say a lot of the campaigning is media. And Muslims in this particular campaign, I didn't see a lot of activity on our necessarily media, but I did see a lot of discussions on some of our radio stations and I saw a couple articles in the past on this particular election. But I think we have room for growth in that area where we can get more involved, not only in this campaign, but in local campaigns, statewide campaigns. Because a lot of media, of course, media is one of the main components of in campaign, getting your message and your candidate in front of the voter.
David Frum wrote an article, he wrote an e-book about why Romney lost, and I had an opportunity to see him, but he basically blamed it on the Republican entertainment. He actually said that the Republican Party was had been taken over by the right-wing entertainment complex, being Fox News and, you know, other entities.
Right.
This is why they lost all their money. So I do understand what you're saying as far as that's concerned. But the Muslims in politics, how can we, especially since, you know, you have some and this is the last question I'm going to ask you about the political part, because there's so much more for us to talk about. But how can we participate more as far as politics and media is concerned, so that, you know, our voice would be more effective as Muslims in America?
One of the best ways we can get more involved in it, maybe even from what we are doing now, is, you know, Allah says in the Quran, I have made the intonation and tribe to get to know one another. And that's what you're taking the lead on this particular show. And maybe this can involve, too, say, a Sunday talk show around solutions, around some of the problems that we face as a community and country, where we have panels, as you see on some of the Sunday talk shows, you have panels from different media that just kind of express their opinion, but more, we should be more in about solutions as Muslims. We don't want to just talk about the problems, but we want to talk about how we can solve some of these problems as a community. So that may be one way, and then allowing those local Muslim candidates, if they're any, and as well as Muslim leaders, to come on the show as a panel member and discuss some of the issues they're facing, and for us to get to know them as candidates as well. So that's just one way, but we really have to, as you said, as you're doing, really have to get more in front of, you know, the listeners, the Muslim voters, and to express some of the solutions we can come up together with for these particular problems that we're facing. So that's just one idea that I will share.
Now, Toure is, for our listeners, again, I think I told you before that Toure is one of the main reasons why I actually became involved in the Muslim American Media Alliance, because Toure, along with the great Hassan Shakir, that pioneering Muslim brother for Taqwa TV, that was into media and into broadcasting and collecting the images and the sounds of the Muslim community for the last 25 years or more. They gave a presentation in the Atlanta area called Muslims Media in the 21st Century about, you know, 2 years ago. They've been doing this for about 2 or 3 years, and I went down there, especially since I had just become involved in media with the radio program, A New Day for Al-Islam in America. And, I mean, Toure was so, not only Toure, but with Hassan Shakir, but Toure in particular had such a grasp on it that he winded up putting up a website called the Muslim American Media Alliance website, which is at MuslimAmericanMediaAlliance.com, and also for creating the Facebook page that most of our traffic and energy comes from, but the Muslim American Media Alliance on Facebook. And also he was very instrumental in building up the membership. We're going to hit 100 members soon. What we've been doing is we've been interviewing these members just to give you, the listener, some idea about how some of the members are actually involved in media. Like, we have, like, Muslim Journal, American Muslim 360, Taqwa Productions, Station, Imam W.D. Muhammad, Ummah Stream World TV. You are a creator. The Islamic TV Network, Aliyah TV Network, Valalian Speaks on YouTube. I did say Aziza Magazine, Community Production Studio. And then there are some other parts of the media that you that I see that you are. You said that you're the social media director for several national and Islamic organizations, such as
yes.
Atlanta Masjid of Al-Islam and Your Muslim Neighbors. How do you actually, what is a social media director, and how have you been utilizing your skills to do that?
A social media director, primary responsibility is using the new social technologies that we're using, such as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the other ones as well, and to use these new technologies to engage their members and new members and I would say Muslims in your community and non-Muslims. So basically, for the Atlanta Masjid, for example, I'm one of the founders and directors of the Facebook page. So if you've ever been to Atlanta Masjid Facebook page, some of the posts and some of the graphics and the different information that you are able to get from the Atlanta Masjid Facebook page, I'm putting that information out there to the public. And it's a team of technology type people plus the secretary of Atlanta Masjid that's on this team to kind of use these social media, Twitter, Facebook, and the others to engage their members as well as non-Muslims. It's a perfect source of da'wah, because a lot of your, I think Atlanta Masjid may have like 3,400, you know, friends. So this
right.
is bringing information out. Not all of them are Muslim, of course, So with this, we're bringing information out and inviting people to different activities and events for them to be able to come to. So what I'm doing with these different organizations, as well as businesses, is helping them with this new technology and trying to show them how this technology can be used. And many, many places, I'm the person that's actually helping develop their Facebook or their Twitter account. So I'm bringing that information out. I think you're aware of it. I mean, you're doing a great job with A New Day for Al-Islam.
Yeah. I know that this new paper company, Blissful Paper Products, I think we should name them because they are a business. They are a Muslim business. They're a Muslim startup. They haven't been around too long from what I understand, but I've just come to know them over the last year. But how are you helping them as far as media is concerned?
Well, they're based out of Jacksonville, Florida, and their CEO, Zakifa Khan. And what I'm doing with them is I'm actually developing their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram account. What they're doing is they're using that to engage clients that's in different states. What he's doing is he's distributing that paper product to the different states, and we're trying to engage new customers and really just market to other, you know, other people that don't know about Blissful Paper Products. We're using these Facebook accounts and other accounts to reach out and market to their clients and to their potential buyers.
Yeah, I remember Imam Ramadan, who's the host of New Day for Al-Islam in America, and also the resident Imam of Masjid Nuruddin and director of the Clara Muhammad School, mentioning Blissful Paper Products. So part of what a media director does is, you know, try to communicate with the different masjids to let them know that this product is available?
Yes. What you'll do, you'll communicate to the different masjids. You'll also be one of the people, I mean, for social media as well. It also involves what's called constant contact, and when you send out information to these different masjids as well as new, not only the existing clients, because you're trying to get new clients as well. So you'll send out constant contact emails to these particular clients, letting them know more about your product. I mean, for any product, for example, Samsung, you know, Samsung telephones, they have a particular Facebook page, Twitter account, where they're engaging their customers on a daily basis about new products that's coming out, about updates to their phones that they're coming out, and they're able to constantly engage in. So it's more about engaging in marketing than anything else. You're trying to interact with your customer through these social technologies, where otherwise you would not have contact with them. They may be just watching your commercial, but they won't be able to engage with you and give you feedback on your particular product.
Torrey, as far as the Facebook page, especially as far as the Muslim American Media Alliance Facebook page, you know, most of these members that are on here are members that you have basically put on here. How do you go about, you know, getting the members to come on to the Muslim American Media Alliance, and what is it that other members can do to participate in as an alliance?
Well, as a social media director, one of the skills that you have is actually finding out about people that you may not have known about through other community links. Like, for example, through the Atlanta Masters Facebook page, you may have friends that are a part of that page that may be involved in another media source that you're aware of. So for a lot of, like, say, for Omar Reagan or some of the current members, I will see some of their work on other sources, Twitter, Facebook, other places, and I'll see that they just wrote a book. Like, for one sister, she just wrote a book on I Love My Hijab. And that's media, that's da'wah. So I would invite that particular person to Muslim American Media Alliance so we can grow our networking base. If I know, I'm just familiar with some of the work that Omar Reagan's done in the past, so I just kind of thinking that would be an excellent resource, and he's an excellent person to network with in order to continue to build up the Muslim American Media Alliance. So that's one method.
I really appreciate, you know, the work that you have done as far as that's concerned, because when I see the members that come on, and then by following through on your contact with them to invite them to be part of the radio program, just like when we interviewed Omar Reagan, that was a fascinating. That was really, we did not have enough time with that brother. He's just got so much going on, and he is such a personality that he's somebody that the Muslim community should know about, because he actually uses the religion of Al-Islam in his routine as a comic, which is great.
And there,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and there are hundreds of Muslims doing things out here such as that with Islam and with their particular skill that we just don't know about. So it's mainly trying to get to know these people, you know.
True. We have next week, I'm just letting you know, next week we have Amir Muhammad that will actually be coming on. Amir just did a documentary called Hibana. He's been going to a few film festivals, and if you go on the Muslim American Media Alliance, you can get updated on some of the things that Amir has been doing. And also Fatima Moore Ibrahim, I think she's the one that wrote the book, I Love My Hijab.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I definitely want to reach out to her because she has some fascinating skills she actually has available to her and some of the things that she's actually doing. She's a creative director of, you know, a media production company. She graduated from school. She's wrote a couple of books, and also she deals in animation. So these are people that, you know, we really want to communicate with, we want to connect with, we want to network with, to let them know that there are Muslims that are doing things and trying to find ways that we might be able to have a working relationship with each other.
I agree. And this is how it's done in the so-called mainstream media. I mean, when you're on the campaign, what you learn that they have what's called talking points. And every morning you get an email on the talking points for that particular day, what the position is going to be, what you should say and what you shouldn't say. So basically that's why every time you turn to a particular radio station that everybody's saying the same thing, you know, because you have what's called talking points. And a lot of times we as the public end up using those talking points for our particular position. But as Muslims, we need to have our own talking points based upon Quran and the Sunnah and things that's relating to today. That's why the Muslim American Media Alliance is so important, because we can begin to start, you know, collaborating and having one message on this particular position, one message on that, or two, depends on what it is, but we can start showing some unity. I mean, that's why a lot of times you see that everybody on the Republican Party on all these stations are saying the same thing. That's why everybody's focused on Benghazi, because of these particular talking points.
You know, I really appreciated this election, but I also appreciated the spirituality that actually happened regarding the election. Now, other people may not have been looking at it on that level, but, you know, as Muslims that are living in America, you know, we do have a perspective coming from the leadership of the Imam W.D. Muhammad, because Imam W.D. Muhammad was just, you know, a great leader to perceive and to have a Muslim-American perspective. Would you say that was right?
I'll agree with you 100%, and that's a perspective that needs to be amplified in this country. It's really just listening to how they want to restructure the Republican Party or where this party is going, that party. Really, I think that Imam Muhammad's message and the way he found a middle road is really what this country needs as a new party when that Republican Party fizzle out, and because people are not responding to that. It's more of a middle road for, Imam Muhammad taught us the middle road, taught us to try to do, you know, interfaith and to really try to get to know each other and not just be my way or the highway kind of politics.
So as far as this election was concerned, we had a perspective. I mean, the Muslim American had a perspective, and that we have the opportunity to present to people, because in the mainstream media, they don't really talk about, you know, like the more spiritual side of these things.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's in the Quran that says, you know, if Allah is against you, nobody can be against you. And if Allah is against you, nobody can be with you. And I think we saw that, you know, in this thing, no matter how much power or money or influence you think you have, if Allah is not on your side, you're going to come up a loser every time.
Right.
So, and I was just looking at the inauguration date for next year falls on the 21st, which is MLK birthday. And that should have been assigned to us. It usually falls on the 20th, but the 20th falls on a Sunday, so it automatically defaults to the Monday, which is MLK birthday. So that's a little sign for those who look at things like that. I like to look at things like that sometimes, because you can take away from that. But it shows you that, you know, Allah is in control of everything. We don't have control of anything. We saw Sandy come through right before the election. Allah was in control of that. So I don't know what impact that had on the election or not, but it just shows you that this election wasn't the biggest thing on the radar. Allah has something bigger, and now we have to try to grow and repair and come back from that particular storm and really try to recover from that mishap.
Well, you opened up something, and I have to say something about it, because that storm, the places that it hit in some very important places.
Very important.
Very important places, and it did a lot of destruction in some very important places where there was an economic storm that took place in America. And
right.
people were saying, well, look, they're going to have to fend for their own self. But now when you get a storm that physically takes away your house and your material possessions, that hurts you economically. What's your position now? You got a job, but you don't have a house. You know, what's
right.
your position now as far as the economic downturn is concerned? Do you want some help? Do you want help now?
Right.
Don't you see that you need it? Oh, what's the position should government play in your life and in your situation now? Do you think that government should now play a part in your situation? Should government come in and rebuild the roads now? Or are you going to take care of that by yourself too?
Right,
well,
and
you
it
know,
also turns you back to Allah because you're helpless once again.
Exactly.
You think it's the election, all this is what's so important. No, your house blow away or when all your possessions are gone, who do you call on? Call
right.
on Allah for help. So
right, and there's nothing you can, and there's nothing you can do. There was nothing that anybody could
nothing.
Do when the storm came through. And that's what I'm saying. We are very thankful to Imam W.D. Muhammad, who kind of gives us a good foundation to relate this to the Quran and the message of Muhammad, the message of Allah, to the current circumstances that are available. Now, one of the other things that I wanted to ask you, Torre, you said that you went to school, the Clara Muhammad School. Does that mean that your parents, how did you develop? Tell us about your development as a Muslim in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad and how that affected your educational and your career goals and your career path.
Well, my mother, Gloria Muhammad, and my father, Abdul Bakti Muhammad, they accepted Islam. They actually was in the Peace Corps in the 60s in Sierra Leone, Africa, and they were teaching education over there. And they accepted Islam in Africa, and that's where I get my name from, Teray. So,
your parents were from the United States, right?
Yes, they were from the United States, but they were in the Peace Corps in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So they accepted Islam in Africa, and when they came back to the States, there really wasn't any other Muslim community but the Nation of Islam. So they joined the Nation of Islam. They really didn't believe in a lot of teachings, but it was a community of Islam, so they did accept that. And when then Imam W.D. Muhammad made the transition in 75, they naturally just followed over him and became Muslim and raised us up Muslim. So I was born in 1973, and I was born up in Islam, up in a Muslim family and a Muslim community. So I was born in Newark. We attended Clara Muhammad School there in Newark, and we left when I was around 8, but we went to North Carolina, and I attended Clara Muhammad School in North Carolina. So most of my elementary education was in a Muslim school. From high school to college, it was a public school, but we always were involved in the masjid and community activities and going to conferences. So I really don't know anything else but this community, Muslim American community. With my education, primarily, one of my primary goals is to try to see a Muslim community where we live, work, play, and pray in my lifetime, inshallah, somewhere where we have all these resources to us. So I went into city planning, which is one emphasis on that particular type of development. And in being in Atlanta for graduate school, I naturally went to Atlanta Masjid of Al-Islam and became more involved in that particular community. Really been into the community for quite a while, really my whole life. So, you know, that's all I know.
I'm glad that you explained that to us about how city planning, because I was wondering, how did he get from a master's degree in city planning and get into information systems? But I
well,
can see
let
it
me
now.
Explain that. It's interesting because ever since I was young, I've always been into computers, like video games. I'm always a little boy in front of a computer or video games or nerd or geek. So really, I didn't know what I wanted to do into going into college. And I was thinking about the Army. However, my eyesight was too bad, so I didn't get in the Army. And that was kind of heartbreaking to me at the time. But I didn't get in there. But that was a blessing in a way because the next year we had Desert Storm. So, you know,
right.
a lot of works in mysterious ways. A lot of works in ways that we don't know. So it was a blessing to me to be able to go to college then. And I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I asked my mom, who's very spiritual, very enlightened. She said I should go into city planning and development. Now, with city planning and development, you got what's called information systems, GIS, geographic information systems, where most of the information about a city is going to be on the computer, and you manage and make analysis and decisions on the computer. So me having a technology background in city planning, I naturally went towards GIS, which is information systems, and that's where all the technology and computers and graphics and all that come from.
Okay. All right. So how do you see, you're in the Washington, D.C. area. What masjid do you attend at over there?
I try to attend a number of masjids. I live up in the North DMV, what's called DMV. Really, it's all one area, the D.C., North Maryland, I mean North Virginia, South Maryland area. So I attend masjid on North. If I'm at home, because I'm usually off on Fridays, I can go to Masjid Muhammad, go masjid. It's another masjid, Prince George Muslim Association. So I try to, depends on where I am. I really don't like to bypass one masjid to go to another masjid.
Yeah.
But because I work and live near Dar al-Taqwa, I try to attend that. But when we have Eid and a lot of the Fridays, I go to Masjid Muhammad as well.
You being in the Washington, D.C. area, have you had an opportunity to become aware of Muslims that are in politics? Are there a lot of Muslims in politics? What is your insight on that?
I wouldn't say there's a lot of Muslims in politics, quote unquote, but there are a lot of Muslims in government, a lot working for the federal government. I have come across a lot of Muslims. You'd be surprised how many are involved in federal government. And, of course, you have your in your higher governments, you do have staffers, and you have, of course, your congressmen in our community, Keith Ellison, Andre Carson, and, you know, others that's involved in the topper echelon of government. But you do have a lot of Muslims involved in the local as well as national government here.
As far as decision makers or as part of support teams? Okay, decision makers and support teams.
Yeah, both. I mean, it's, of course, you know, the Muslim American population, it's only like less than 1% of the national population, so we're probably represented in that way as well as government. It's not a lot, but there are people that I know of that's in the government, that work for government or in some of these departments that are contributing to the federal government.
You know, media, I think one of the statements that you made earlier in the program was politics has a lot, well, media has a lot to do with politics.
Mm-hmm.
And what can we do? Because there'll probably be a lot of our members who will listen to this broadcast and especially become interested in possibly getting involved in politics, because it's been said a number of times, Imam Ramadan has said, you might not want to affect politics, but politics definitely affects you. So how can media, some of the things that we're doing as far as media, how can we develop ourselves so that we can be a part of the political structure?
Well, I think the word politics has really got a bad rep now. People connotate it with a negative thing. But really, if we start seeing it as social relations, that's all politics is. It's people in a social or society relating to each other. Because we have different interests, sometimes it gets heated. Sometimes we have to negotiate. Sometimes we have to, you know, compromise. And that's what's called, quote, unquote, politics. But I like to get away from the word politics for us because it's, you know, so connotating with so much negativity. And we need to start seeing it as social relations. Now, as a Muslim American Media Alliance, what we should do is get more involved in that social relations. On a local level, cover local social relations that we have or politics that we have in our community first, then start moving up on a state as well as a national level. One of the reasons I think we don't have as big of an impact that we would have wanted as a community is because we're not organized on the local level. We really could have some impact on these local elections if we organize much how you see a union does and organize our vote. Now, as Muslim American Media Alliance, we can first communicate the ideas that a lot of our leaders and public have on some of these topics that we're dealing with. We could just cover some of these local elections and races or even invite some of these local politicians to come and talk to the Muslim community and address some of the issues we have. Another way is we can start to formulate some some problems or some social issues that we think we need to cover as Muslims. One of them being, I think, Eid should be a national holiday or at least on the calendar. You know, just something simple like that would move us forward in making Islam really in this country take root into this country more than it already has. That's just one basic one. Of course, there are other things such as, you know, just having a prayer area in some of these public buildings. Sometimes you don't have a musalla, some of these federal buildings where you should have one where people can make Friday prayer. Just or their five daily prayers. So it's just come up with an agenda and our own points and points of talking points and things we would like to see done. And then organize on a local level. As well as then we'll come together on a national level and one day, inshallah, we have a representative, you know, the Muslim Media Alliance on the White House press
pool. Yes.
We have a constituents that we should be at their table.
One of the members of the Muslim American Media Alliance is another entity that you're involved with, and that is Ummah Stream World TV. What can you tell us about that and what your efforts are with that?
Ummah Stream World TV is a service of Taqwa Productions. And basically what that main focus is to utilize what's called web streaming or live streaming, events, Jumas, shows. And now that you can get online, you can see, you know, live broadcasting online. The focus of Ummah Stream is to be able to bring that more to the forefront of our community. It was an idea that I had along with Hassan Shakir that we helped develop in order to bring live Jumah to the internet. So now that anyone around the world really can tune into our website, which is usworld.tv, and watch Jumah live. Now, this year, last year, I think the year before that, we also started rebroadcasting Hajj live, which is the Hajj rites. I mean, I was very, very disappointed and sensitive to that you had 3.3 plus million Muslims gather in peace in Mecca during the Hajj and almost no media coverage. Now, I'm not naive as to why that is, but it's still, you know, you almost have no media coverage on that, and that's uncalled of. But then you have one person who puts some chemicals or something in their underwear or something, and everybody's covering that,
right.
One Muslim, or one so-called Muslim does that. So we really, really need to have our own national broadcast, and through the live technology now, we're able to do that through the internet. And that's really what Ummah Stream is about. Inshallah, we're contracting with the Muslim Journal to try to bring the awards ceremony. That's not finalized yet, but we really need to try to utilize this technology in order to bring more of our events to the public, because a lot of times everybody's not able to travel in this environment because of the economy or whatever reason, or you may be handicapped or you may be elderly, and they should still have a right to be able to participate in that event through the internet.
Right. I do see Aaliyah TV Network. And we had an interview with Dion Robinson, who does an Aaliyah. Is that the same person?
It's not. Dion is in up north, up in Chicago, Detroit area. And Aaliyah is in the D.C. area. And what they're primarily doing is local, not all Muslim events. They're mainly doing local community broadcasting.
Oh, okay. I found that to be interesting. Dion Robinson is almost doing something like a series
mm-hmm.
Called Aaliyah, and he's doing episodes, and it would seem like that would be something that might be able to get some broadcast and some marketing and promotion by doing something on the TV networks that we have, like Ummah Stream and Aaliyah, the Islamic TV
Network,
Speak TV. So it would seem like maybe we should try to, you know, do something like that. I'm just looking at some of the members that we have that are involved in TV, and knowing that we interviewed Dion Robinson a couple of weeks ago, and that's something that he does. And
right. He also mentioned that he was trying to get to Atlanta, so I think that partnership is in the work. Inshallah,
right.
that would be excellent. And you know, that's what we need. We need more shows about our culture, more Islamic halal cooking shows, more, you know, Muslim talk shows. You know, and it's not that difficult now with the technology to be able to bring those type of shows to the public. So that's exactly what my stream is about, is looking at those kind of opportunities to do those type of shows. And inshallah, I mean, Taqwa Production has been doing those type of shows. Not like, I mean, Aaliyah is unique because it's a, I wouldn't say sitcom, but it's that kind of program.
Yes,
good.
Right.
I mean, there have been others, but that there has been other efforts that I know about similar to that, but all of that is good works, and we need to collaborate and support that kind of work. And that's why I would like to see for Uma Stream that we start picking up some of those particular programs.
Alhamdulillah. Well, Tori, I just wanted to say we have about 10 minutes left in the show, but I wanted to say, man, that I really thank you for your efforts that you're doing as far as the Muslim American Media Alliance is concerned, especially as far as the membership is concerned and creativity that's been involved in it. It is because of some of this work that you're doing with that we are able to build on this, that we are able to continue to build with the Muslim American Media Alliance. And, you know, we're going to continue this, man, because I think that this is becoming a viable and productive and necessary entity for those who are involved in the media.
No, I agree. I agree, and I just want to, you know, return that and thank you for your leadership and continuing to stay with them. I mean, a lot of times in our community, it's not easy to, you know, continue, especially financially. We don't have the support we would like to get, like that you see in a lot of the mainstream media, but, you know, we continue at it because it's for the pleasure of Allah, and we know a lot of it's dawah, and Allah is building a mansion for us in the other life, as well as it's the good works in this life that will allow us to continue to do it. So it's a passion. And we should continue to stick with it, continue to push it. I mean, we have a long way to go. We have a lot of work to do as a community, as an organization, but we're still continuing to strive for it. So it's a team effort. And I'm continuing to support you and all the work you do. Alhamdulillah, it's very good. And just, you know, keep it up. Don't let anything discourage you, because a lot of times with our particular media, I call it the Juma syndrome or something like that, where we will sit on the floor and we don't really respond back to the imam. So a lot of times that carries over to our media where people don't respond back. But they see you and they hear you, but there's no kind of interaction sometimes. So, but just know that people are listening. They hear you. I've heard people having discussions where they're coming up with things you talked about on your show, New Day for Al-Islam. So people are listening. It's just that we need to get more engaged as a community. That it's okay. You can speak back to this particular khutbah. You know, you don't have to sit on the floor and be quiet.
So we're growing, and Torrey, I thought it was very important for people to get to speak to you and get to know some of your background, especially since you are the creative director and also the person who has done a lot to bring the Muslim American Media Alliance into fruition with your efforts as far as media. I'm glad to, you know you and to be part of the team that you're on, and inshallah, you know, we're going to continue this in the future. Now, thank you, brother, so very much for taking the time with us this Sunday to meet the AMA members. Thank you, brother, and inshallah, man, we'll speak soon.
Inshallah, I look forward to working with you in 2013 and beyond. May Allah continue to bless this effort.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you for listening to Muslim American Media Alliance.